Fun one to do at karaoke.
Was that Gwyneth Paltrow? Sing that?
Gwen Stefani.
No, Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, you know.
Gwen Stefani.
Gwyneth Paltrow married to Chris, or once married, now divorced to Chris Martin of Coldplay. Your boy was a huge Coldplay fan back in the day.
Were you really?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, Chris Martin was in No Doubt.
No.
With Gwen Stefani.
Are you doing this on purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit dark in here, so I can't quite see all your facial expressions.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Good. How are you?
No, welcome, everybody, to, I think it's episode 26 of Up Your Butt and Around the Corner.
And Around the Corner.
With me, Sam Evans, at Really Sam Evans.
Really? Sam Evans?
And with me, as always, is the problematically handled at Juden Huggins, Jordan Scott Huggins. Bow, bow, bow. You can't see right now, but your hair is doing a great thing where it's going. Turn around. Look in the mirror.
Is it coiffed? Oh.
You got one little alfalfa bit.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
I trimmed my hair the other day, and it's been looking quite poofy, and I don't like when it looks like one
cohesive, giant poof.
Yeah. You know, like it's like a Lego man.
You like strands.
I like strands.
You have a very specific hairstyle that is both unique to you and not out of style for the times.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you do a great job with
I've been doing the hair.
And you cut your own hair?
I cut my own hair. I just do like a two or three on the sides.
What do you do on the top?
Actually, maybe three or four on the sides. And then the top is super easy. Just comb it over to one side, and I do cut in a straight line.
Really?
And then comb it over the other side and even it out. It's cut in a straight line. So
that's all you do?
That's all I do, yeah.
What about the back? Also,
I shave.
Do a two or three?
Yeah, I do like a U all the way around.
Wow.
I ever tell you about the time I did a Friar Tuck haircut? I was working at summer camp. And
on purpose?
On purpose.
To
and
be
I
funny.
Shaved the U into my head.
That's so funny.
It was, I've never felt uglier.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
This is coming from a guy who had 1.5 teeth in the front of his mouth for a while.
Who has 2 fake teeth right now, yeah.
We got a lot to plug.
Got a lot to plug.
And we
got to
get into it. So, as always, we want to just do a regular plug of the pod. We are on all social media at Up Your Butt Pod. And then, of course, you can reach us by email at upyourbuttpod@gmail.com.
Get at us.
Please get at us. We love so much your emails. We're going to get to a listener email here in a hot minute. But we love it when you guys reach out with questions. If you have things that you want to go on the questionnaire, if you have points of contention about the questionnaire, or you want to call out Jordan on his bullshit, because I'm sure there's a lot to work with there, please do. And then this is a thing that we're doing. A long time ago, before Jordan was a part of this podcast, I had kitchen magnets made up that says Up Your Butt and Around the Corner with the show's original logo. And I got a shit ton of them. And so we're trying to boost reviews for the pod. And what we would love is if you would rate and subscribe and leave a review. If you do this, if you leave a review and then you take a picture of that review and just send it to our Twitter or send it to our Gmail as proof of like, hey, I left this review, and then you include your address, I will send you gratis a free kitchen magnet.
And what?
I will do that for the first 15 people that leave reviews for the podcast.
I love that. That's so great.
That's shameless bribery.
I love it.
You know what? And you don't even have to be honest in your review. You don't have to leave a good one. God, I hope you do.
Oh,
it'd
yeah.
It'd be crazy if you're this deep into this podcast and you're like, oh, I want my kitchen magnet, but I'm leaving a bad review.
I want free stuff. That's a sadistic person.
Yeah, yeah. So
you know
do,
what you should do with any leftover ones if you don't get a flood. If we don't get a flood of positive reviews, positive 4 or 5, preferably 5 stars.
Yeah, as we said, we will take a 3. If you want to leave a 2, you can get fucked.
You should bring the extra ones on tour.
Oh,
we're going on tour.
And Jordan, you got. We're going on tour. Jared Krieger. Very
yes.
funny. Probably going to be recording some episodes on the road featuring Jared.
For sure.
And Jordan, I think you got the dates in your
hand. I do have the dates.
Why don't you go ahead and hit everybody? It's a tour mostly down south, and you go ahead and tell them what the dates are.
If you haven't found us on Facebook, if you're not Facebook friends with us, then
tweet it out on the Twitter as well.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out. We'll Instagram it out. It's not specifically a podcast tour, but it's the City Bumpkins Comedy Tour. Are we okay with that name?
I love that name.
And you, hopefully, if you haven't seen it, we'll share it, but you got to check out the dope AF artwork that we got for the poster. I got a very talented Ailey Reed. I believe it's Ailey, a illustrator based in the UK, and I like found her on Instagram and stuff. Really talented. She designed the City Bumpkins tour, and I love it so much. It looks great. It has the three of us on it. Looks really good. But
hit them with those dates.
Yeah, the dates. We're starting out Friday the 17th, so just two Fridays away. Is that right?
Two Fridays away.
We're starting out in Charlotte, North Carolina at VizArt. It'll be $5 online, $7 at the door. Then we're doing the 1 a.m. secret show, hopefully.
Hopefully.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
If not, it's their loss.
Yes.
Please let us come.
Please. David, if you're listening, if you're a listener. So that's Saturday the 18th. Sunday the 19th, we'll be in Asheville at 9:30 at, I think, Fairview Tavern. Monday the 20th, we'll be at Beer and Comedy back in Atlanta. One Joe Pettis runs that. Really great show.
Great room. Joe
Tuesday,
Pettis,
we'll be back in Charlotte at the Charlotte Comedy Zone, actually. I think closing out the Spotlight show. They do like they spotlight like young upcoming artists and stuff like that. We'll be closing that out.
I love that.
Wednesday the 22nd, we'll be in Chattanooga. JJ's Bohemia.
Bohemia.
Closing that out with one Andy Samford, I believe.
Yes.
Thursday, we're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina at a show called Boat Jail, which is at Neptune's Parlor, which is it's such a tight venue.
Yeah.
It's super cool. Friday the 24th.
Wait, Neptune's Parlor, is that the, it's in a picture in your place or is that a different place?
Oh, no, that's the Evening Muse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The photo.
Neptune's Parlor.
You're right. And then Friday, we will be at Cincy Brouhaha in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, that's no Friday.
Well, I wanted to say.
You are going to be at the Epic Comedy Hour.
Yes,
in
I will
Huntington,
be.
Alabama.
We're going to split up for a day. Yeah. I'll be at Epic Comedy Hour in Huntsville, Alabama.
But
come
Saturday, we're both going to be at Brouhaha in Cincinnati. And I will be there on Friday as
yes.
well. It's
going to
be a day long split up. So
if you're in Cincinnati on Friday, you can go see Sam. If you're in Huntsville, Alabama, or surrounding area on Friday, you can come see me. But we're going on tour.
We're going on tour, bitch.
We're going on tour. And then Saturday, we will be hopefully at Cincy Brouhaha. And then Sunday, I think we'll be making the very tired long trek home, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you and I, we got to figure out travel from Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, we could fly back together.
I think it'll be pretty cheap, actually.
Hopefully.
We'll check flights tomorrow. But yeah, that's what we're fucking doing.
We're doing it.
Check us out. City Bumpkins Tour. We'll post it on all the social media.
Yeah. Hopefully, hopefully we have, I'm guessing, but I think we have like some North Carolina listeners to the pod. If you guys are listening, I'd love for you to come out. We'll be in Asheville, Charlotte, and Raleigh. So three different chances to catch us. And Sam, super funny. I don't know if I told you this, but you've kind of been my cash cow dealing with people producing these shows. Because they've been like, hey, I'm coming on tour. When I reach out to people, I'm like, hey, I'm coming on tour. It's me and two other comics. One of them has been at JFL New Faces.
Is that what you say?
And I type it in all caps like that, yeah. And then I just, no. When they ask for credits, I do give them credits, though. But I've got a press packet for us that includes that. I feel cheap and whorish now, but
you shouldn't feel cheap and whorish. You did it. You have booked this tour 100% by yourself.
Oh, I know,
and I am grateful.
I think I just told you, but we set up prices for the first show, and I'm so excited in Charlotte. I don't want to say I'm more excited about any of the shows than any other ones, but
that first
first one in Charlotte, I am so stoked about. It's at VizArt, which is like this new small. It's like it's an old school
theater.
Video store.
A video store.
And they have a screening room in the back that holds like probably 30 to 45 people.
And we're going to do BYOB.
We're doing Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, BYOB. We're doing BYOB, giving it out for donations, quote unquote.
Because they don't have a... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So
whatever you feel like donating. Wink.
Wink. Yeah. We'd love to take your money.
Wouldn't it be so funny if this was used in a court of law against us? On like some liquor violation sale?
The owner's been super cool, so I hope that doesn't happen.
The state selects to introduce evidence 1B, one audio recording of the podcast, up your butt and around the corner.
The only thing I would hope for in that situation is that legally they're required to listen to the entire episode.
Oh, I would love that. and leave a rating.
Yeah. And then so we get like a couple followers on it.
God, it'd be so funny.
Could you imagine listening to us talk about candy bars in a court of law?
Ugh, I love it.
So that's everything about the tour. Come see us.
That is everything about the tour.
City Bumpkins tour. Also, you know what? I am tickled to death about the poster. I think she did such a good job.
It's such a good... Say the illustrator's name again, because the poster is so good.
Her name is Ailey Reed. It's spelled E-I-L-I-D-H.
Oh, my God.
And she's on Instagram at by Ailey, I think. So B-Y-E-I-L-I-D-H.
Such a good job. It's really great.
Knocked out. I wish I could bring up the email exchanges between us, because the past like 4 or 5 since she sent me the final design and illustrations of the poster, all my responses have been in like all caps. Just like, you crushed this.
Oh my God. I love everything about it. I love the color scheme, the way that she drew our characters.
Yes. It's so great. Yeah.
We're hanging our heads and bodies out of a New York City taxi. It's very fun.
When we hit a year, maybe I'll get her to redesign the podcast.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe get our current demon incarnation faces off there. People do not like it.
They don't.
I love it.
I do like it. We edited it out, but not. I hope he doesn't listen. I think I actually prefer the original artwork. I really liked.
Oh yeah, that was done.
I was okay. I mean, I appreciate you wanting to include me on the artwork and stuff.
Yeah,
and I think our current artwork is great, but I was okay with the original one. I was just like, when we went to that guy, it was like, you know, just add my head also sniffing his butt or something, you know. So
that'd be fun.
But yeah.
Okay, now we do have another order of business to get to.
Do we? I don't think.
Now this is like kind of a, you guys might have noticed we were really at a good clip of trying to get out episodes on time,
and we were.
And then
I'm
sure you noticed that last week there wasn't an episode, and I would say that we want to offer a profound apology, but we don't. Only one of us is going to apologize, and who is it going to be, Jordan?
You know what? I'm so sorry. I did it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna apologize.
Crumble. Tell everybody. Okay, now and here's what's going on this week, the setting of the pod, and this was the same setting last week. Currently, I am dog sitting for a very funny comedian Dave Hill, and I said to Jordan, "Hey, come over, and we'll just record the podcast here, in the West Village, New York, great apartment." Dog sitting the beautiful dog Lucy, who's being such a good girl right now.
The Luce.
And so I said, Jordan, come on over. And he says, cool, I'm just coming from a show. Leland and Jared, both friends of the pod, Leland Long, Jared Krieger, they both want to come. And I was like, that's great, but just so you know, like, I only have the mobile setup, so we can't do multiple microphones.
Yes.
More than two anyway. And he was like, yeah, I explained it to him, they totally get it. And I knew in my head that nobody is going to sit for an hour and watch their friends
just
record
talk.
A podcast without interjecting.
Yeah.
Especially Jared. No offense to Jared, but he and you were pretty well sauced. You also showed up like drunk. Like, I thought you weren't that drunk, but then right from like the first 3 sentences, you're like, oh my God, hey, welcome back, everybody. It's so good.
I was not that sauced. I mean, maybe I
and
was.
So, yeah, and so we recorded maybe a 40-minute episode last week. But the problem with it is that there are these 5-minute stretches where we are having full-on conversations with Jared.
Yeah.
Or Leland a little bit.
A little, yeah.
Where it's, you can just hear us talking into the microphone, and then it's like silence or like an echoey voice in the back.
To be fair, haven't listened. You haven't listened back to the episode, have you?
I listened to it a little bit. Yeah.
And I heard that you not hear Jared at all?
You can't. I mean, not. You can't hear Jared enough to where I'd be like, oh, this is passable. People won't be mad at us for this.
Okay, you're right. You know
so
what?
That's what happened.
Sam, I to you, our listeners, and to Sam, I apologize.
Wow. Is this your three-part apology?
You fucking you're getting one part, and that's not... No.
What are the elements of a three-part apology again?
What are they? I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying.
I am sorry.
I am
sorry. And
then
here's what I'm going to do to fix it.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Sam, I hear what you're saying. I was unrealistic in my expectations bringing over Jared and Leland.
You did show up kind of sauced.
I showed up a little bit sauced, maybe more so than even I realized. And for that, I'm sorry. So in the future, I will do better. And I will be more responsible when...
It's crazy how effective this is.
Garbage.
It really is. I know you're full of shit. And I'm still like, wow, he really means it. I get why people do a three-part apology. Yeah. Also, if you hear a dog occasionally whining in the background, that's sweet Lucy girl.
The cute, underbited Lucy girl.
She's adorable. She's a good pooch.
She's a good boy.
Tan girl. And white, I'm going to say hound.
Is she,
variety
yeah,
dog?
Right?
Yeah, yeah. She's beautiful.
Yes.
Great dog, but she does require a lot of stimulation, and I think she's mad at me.
That's disgusting.
I was tossing her...
Attention.
Not like that. You know what I mean.
No.
I was tossing her Kong, but I think she lost it.
Oh, gotcha.
But she's just a great dog. Sweet girl. Love her so much. She couldn't be more upset with me right now.
These are little babies.
Yeah.
Are you just constantly playing with her when she's...
She has gotten better, actually. She's like kind of
needy?
Yeah, but it's like not a bad need. She's just super athletic and like super intelligent.
Yeah.
If you take her to the dog park and start throwing around tennis balls, she loves that.
Yeah.
But she knows what's going on. So when you go to like grab her or anything, she's
right.
Oh, we're not going anywhere.
Oh.
And she won't
yeah,
let
yeah.
you touch her.
Oh, you were telling me about that, that you have to like trick her. Like
I have Carmen come meet me and like we'll throw her tennis balls and stuff like that, and then I'll throw one and I'll do it on purpose, throw it over the fence,
yeah.
and I'll be like, oh no,
I have to go get it.
I act all of this out for her. I'm like, oh no, I'll go get it, Lucy. And so I go and I like walk around the fence and make it really obvious that I'm getting it, and she stares the whole time, and while she does that, Carmen just grabs her harness.
Oh, that's smooth.
Yeah,
okay,
because she's smart, she knows what's
boomed
up.
yeah. You know what we didn't write down that I do want to hear? I don't know what reminded me of it, but I wanted you to talk about your senior prank.
Oh, my senior prank. It's not actually that good of a story, but it is kind of funny.
It was pretty good. So it came up because it was like John Rosenberg or somebody posted a status and was just like, tell me something about yourself that like you would never guess. Or
it was like, tell me something about something that you're like weirdly proud of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said... it was there was like a senior. It was a tradition, really. Like all the in my high school, if you were a junior going into senior year, the summer before, you would always go overnight and like teepee the high school, like maybe a week out from
school.
School starting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the night that we did, I don't know how the cops like knew or whatever, but a bunch of and it was also such a cool moment because I asked my dad jokingly because I knew that he would say no,
yeah.
or at least I thought he would, and he was like, yeah, you can go do that. And I was like,
oh, you were like, hey, can I go TP the school?
Yeah, yeah. Can I stay over at my friend's house? And by the way, we are going to go TP the school.
I hate how good of a person you are. That you were just like, look, father, mine father, I'm going to go stay at my, I'm going to go stay at Jeremy's
place.
No,
it was not out of being a good person. It was out of like a, this will be a hilarious no I'm about to receive.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then he said yes, and I couldn't believe it. So we went. And yeah, the cops, like there were like a couple different patrol cars, and we even saw there were cops like inside the breezeway, like the first doors that you go into the high school. They were just waiting there, and we were like, "Fuck, this sucks." You know what it was? You don't TP the high school; you TP the junior high as a way to be like heads up, freshmen.
Oh,
that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, at the start of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So we went to the junior high. Okay. Yeah. And the cops were waiting there. So we went back to my friend Seb's house And we were just all in the basement like, fuck this. This fucking sucks. And one kid was like, you know, I bet there's not even that many cops at the cop station right now. Because they're probably all, it's the middle of the night. And so we went, by the way, I am so well aware that this is the epitome of young white privilege.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't even have to.
This is just white kids in the suburbs being like, let's fuck with cops in the dark. I get it.
Yeah.
But that kid nailed it. Oh yeah, because there was nobody in the parking lot, and I'm guessing maybe there was an officer inside. I don't know, but we just like saw there didn't seem to be anybody there, and we fucking covered it with toilet. It was so great, and I was very proud.
Because
of it.
I bet there's like a couple minutes at the beginning where you're so timid about it, where you're just like, I cannot believe that this is happening, and we're getting away with this. So it's like a first couple rolls. Back and forth.
Yeah.
And then there's just a point where I bet everybody, however many there are of you, you just all fucking let loose. And you're just like, we are not going to get caught for this at all.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty sweet.
That's such a good story. You typed it so succinctly on the comment thread. Uh-huh. And I was like, God, I want to hear the rest of the story. Even if there's no more to it, that's so good.
Yeah, that was a fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. Anyway.
Anyway.
You want any more yarns? Can I spin any more?
I don't know. Do you got any more?
Tales for you?
No,
I'm okay. But yeah, that was my high school prank. Hold on, let's take track of our board here, which currently is just on my pocket sized notebook.
You do have another yarn for us. You helped Sally move.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, I forgot, because you were like, tell me that part.
Yeah,
you did bring it.
Yeah
on our Now Lost episode.
Yes. Yeah,
I do have another.
If we ever have a Patreon, we should release that episode.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure people would be glad they
guys
paid
if you
for that.
Leave a positive review, we will send you.
We probably could.
No.
I
was hoping it'd be a bigger reaction.
So,
let's just talk about everything that happened 2 Saturdays ago, like it was last Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Friend of the pod, Sally Brooks, very funny comedian, mm-hmm. Who has been living in New York for the past 2 to 3 years, I would say. Yeah. She
has it been that small amount of time? I feel like
not quite 3 years, because I know Max is 2 or almost 2. I can't remember. But they, her and her husband and son, are relocating to Atlanta, Georgia. So I helped them move from Astoria, Queens. I helped them load up their moving truck. And I have a story that happened. It's such a crazy story. Not super funny, but it's like so compelling. I want to talk about it. The way that their moving thing worked is you just hire a truck, and like there are no movers, but there's just a guy that drives up with a truck. He parks it in front of your house, and then you have 4 hours to get everything in there.
Yeah.
And then after that, the guy just drives away with your stuff.
Did he drive it down to Atlanta?
I think so.
Okay.
So anyway, they pull up, and it's just me, Sally, and then her husband, Ben, and his dad and brother. And we're all like moving stuff into this truck. Sally is in her apartment, and me and Ben's brother are like moving stuff into the truck while Ben is in the truck. And I walk out of the truck, and the driver, who was just sitting in the driver's seat, he is leaning out the door, and he goes, sir, can you maybe check on her? I'm about to call the paramedics. And I was like, what is this guy talking about? And I look over. Sally's next door neighbor, the building next to her, there is a woman who is about, and this story is going to get severe. I promise she's okay in the end.
Yeah.
But this woman, I want to say mid-20s, has fallen face first onto the cement sidewalk. And apparently she fell through. They have these like wrought iron gates everywhere, especially in Astoria. Apparently fell and hit her face on that wrought iron gate.
Oh, my
the door.
God.
So hit it. Oh. It swings open. And then she hits her head again and just face plants. And I look over. She's seizing. I think she was an epileptic.
Yeah.
And her face is just, I mean, she broke her nose, I think. So there's just fucking blood everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God. The guy's like, I already called 911. So I like sprint upstairs to Sally. And I'm like, Sally, I don't want you to panic, but I need towels. This woman's hurt herself and she's bleeding a lot. And then I get back downstairs. I hand him, Ben's brother is there. And he's like, just like patting this woman on the back. He's like, it's going to be okay. And she is, you can see, I've never actually seen it happen before, but like her eyes are like, you know, not moving voluntarily. They're like twitching. And her breathing it's very clear that it's erratic, like a seizure. Yeah. And then somebody goes and gets her boyfriend or her husband, and this guy is just, I felt so bad, I mean, for both of them, but he is just immediately, like, he's crying, he's terrified, you know? And it, what's crazy is I didn't realize, like, when this happened, like, you just have to, like, wait it out. It probably wasn't that long, but I want to say it was anywhere from, like, 3 to 5 minutes of her, like, bleeding. We put, like, a towel under her face dab up the blood and stuff. And it's just her, like, it's very frenetic, and we're just all like, okay, I guess, you know. And then after a while, like, her breathing slows a little bit, and then she just sits up, and she's, like, terrified because she doesn't know. Yeah. And I think it slowly dawns on her what happened.
What had happened,
but she's just fucking covered in blood, surrounded by a lot of strangers.
Right.
And her husband's crying, you know, like.
Did they make any reference to, like, oh, this has happened before? Or?
He didn't. I mean, he spoke like English, but it was like a little clipped.
Yeah.
It was very much like a. It was like a. Oh my God, this happened. Like I think it was like, you know, it was like the sum of all his fears.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Where she's just like, I don't know if.
God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think This reminds me, and I think I brought it up before on the Lost Pod, but I had an English teacher. He was actually a health and PE teacher. Mm-hmm. His son would have seizures, but they were of, you know, there's like different seizure types, mm-hmm. Or classes or whatever. And
Grandma,
and then there's like other types of seizures. Mm-hmm. His son, I mean, I forgot his name, but. He had like a handful of kids, like 4 or 5 kids, and one of his like middle son or youngest son had these types of seizures that where when they struck, he would be completely still. So then I remember the story so vividly of our teacher telling us this, and like while we're going over seizures in health class, and then he's like, yeah, I basically looked out the front window one day, and my son is like mid-run, he's frozen, standing up like they're playing a game of freeze tag. All the kids are running around, but he's like, but it's all the same like physical and physiological effects of a seizure, like, you know, like brain damage or whatever.
But
that
it
can
doesn't
happen.
Look.
But he's just, not seizing. He's just like, he is seizing, but it's not a, like physical jerks and stuff like that. He's just frozen, like
catatonic.
And frozen. So
what a, and I'm I'm not trying to make light of this, but is there a worse time to have a grand mal seizure during a game of freeze tag, right? Where it just looks like he's just playing the game.
All right, Dylan, you're not in anymore.
Yeah.
I untagged you.
Oh, Dylan's being a dick. It's just a grand mal seizure.
Oh, yeah. I hope his son's okay. I don't know if
you
know.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. I should have added the addendum that I would not be telling the story if I didn't think that woman was all right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, for
she
sure.
She obviously was very scary.
Right.
She was okay. I think she had, at worst, a broken nose. And
so what happened? So the driver did or did not call 911?
He did call 911. Like, she was already up and sitting upright, and then they walk, like, we cleaned up her face a little bit, and then her husband walked her back inside and sat down, and then the paramedics got there maybe 3 or 4 minutes after that.
Okay.
And they actually, like, 2 paramedic trucks showed up, and then one stayed, and they were inside with her for a while. I don't think they took her to the hospital, but I think they just were like, probably running tests, making sure that she's okay.
Looking at her face and stuff. They could probably identify fractures and everything, I guess.
It's very scary, though.
And so you guys just went back to moving.
Yeah, and the craziest part about all of this, too, is that Ben, Sally's husband, was, during the move, was just in the truck, like, kind of like, because there are no movers, so he was like, arranging all of his shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like packing it into a moving truck. So he's not coming out. So as far as he know, and he said, he was like, honestly, I just thought you guys took a break. It was like pretty strenuous. And he's like, I get it. It was hot. I was totally, and we were like, no, dude, this girl had a seizure. It was just like.
He couldn't hear you from inside the truck?
No, because we weren't like yelling. Screaming.
Yeah.
The only person, even her husband didn't scream. He was just like, oh my God, oh my, you know?
Oh, so he's just chilling in the back of the truck.
Yeah, and the way it was parked, end of the truck was pointed, he could just see down the street in the other direction.
In the other direction, yeah.
Yeah, it was so nuts.
God, that's so, I mean,
and
that's
he's just,
funny. But
he's just like, what happened? And we were like, dude, You don't know.
What if he just walked out so pissed? What the fuck, guys? Yeah. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We're not bringing her.
Little busy, Ben. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this woman's life is more important than your armoire. No, he's like the sweetest guy in the world.
Oh, yeah, I bet, yeah.
Also, I think we're staying down. Did you say we have a place to stay in Atlanta? Because they both already were like, why don't you guys just stay with us?
We could do that. Yeah. Let's do that.
I mean, if you want to stay another place, too.
Jared said he's got a place to stay after the 1 a.m. Secret Show. But I was like, all right, he was like, we got a place to stay in Atlanta. I was like, which night? And then he's like, well, Saturday night after the 1 a.m. Secret Show. And I was like, oh, that's great. And he's like, but she did say we might want to bring an air mattress. So anybody that has a baby is already more
prepared
and responsible and mature. And I
think
I want to stay with them.
Both futon and an air mattress.
Okay.
Sally and Ben put up people really well.
That's
They're
great.
Very sweet.
Yeah, I'd love to stay with him. But we're also going to be in Atlanta two separate nights.
Yeah, so we can we can pick and choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's run through our board really quick.
Yeah.
Plugs. Kitchen.
Off
magnets. Off the board. Dates. Off the board. Jordan's apology.
Off the board.
Sally moving. Off the board. We got through a lot. What are we looking at time-wise?
We're really...
Oh, yeah, half hour.
We're really crunching through. What do you got? What do we got?
I got a fan. I guess I got to talk about this phantom pain I'm having.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, it's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what do you got?
Okay,
You got a phantom pain.
We're recording this on Monday. Since Friday, I want to say either Thursday late or Friday early. I can't remember which. I have had a pain in my left testicle.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, but it's like just enough that I am like always aware of it.
Is it like a tingling?
It's not a tingling.
It's a pain.
It's a pain. Not exactly a sharp pain, but now I would say a noticeable ache.
Okay.
Oh, and it's localized like in my left testicle.
Now when you touch it, does it?
Only recently when I've touched it has it become like tender in one spot. But also, I'm sure, have you noticed this before? This is a good point. One time when I was in health class.
Hit me, baby.
Like sophomore year of high school, we talked about like, I think for the girls, like they, you know, like giving yourself like a self-examination.
Yeah.
And then she also handed out, truly, my health teacher did have these little like rubber testicle models that you were like, and there was a thing inside of them, like a rock. And she was like, feel and see, can't you feel the hard mass? And I remember raising my hand and being like, Ms. Provine, there's no way on God's green earth I would ever squeeze my testicle as hard as I have to squeeze.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
nut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's not how this works.
Yes, yeah,
it's not like that.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I do remember that. And then it's just like, it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just never find out if I have.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm on the other end of that nightmare. But it's not like tender exactly, but like when I try to feel, I don't feel any lumps or any hardness. I don't think there's like and there's no like swelling going on.
It is tender to the touch?
Slightly tender to the touch today. That's what I'm praying to God.
Yeah.
I'm praying to God I just hit it and I didn't notice. And it's not as bad when I'm sitting or laying down. When I'm walking around, and I can I've been walking Lucy. Like a lot.
Have you been walking more than average?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if that at all.
It's very hot. My dad did say you should just buy a jock in the meantime, see if that helps improve.
My dad told
me to wear a jock strap. My dad's a doctor.
You know, just wear a jock strap.
What do you think I hung up and he was like, what a fucking idiot.
You talked to him about it though, so.
I did. Yeah. Cause my dad was a surgeon. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's not like, it's not terrible. I can like function completely normally, but it is like a dull aching.
Is it persistent or is it intermittent? I should be a doctor. Are you kidding me? Those
just
words.
Try to recreate.
I did try to recreate.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan said that before the podcast and I laughed at it and he tried to recreate it for the podcast.
I did. It worked. I got
it. Lucy, go lay down. Go lay down.
Did she listen to you at all?
Sometimes she does. If I was sitting here quietly, this would stop after 5 minutes.
But because you're talking.
We're talking to each other. Yeah.
Now, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, sometimes you just have those phantom pains for a couple of days. It's like, I assume it's bruising or, you know, just some type of like physical trauma.
Yeah.
Other thing. And you know what? These aren't the only two options that it could be. These are the only two options I know of, though. But testicular torsion. And
there's
a comic that just got that.
Mateo.
I've had a friend who had it before. And it's, I think it's where the testicles get wrapped around each other and you lose like blood flow or.
Now, I don't think that that's it.
Yeah.
Because like, as far as I can tell, they both seem to be dangling freely.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think there's like a twisting going on. And there's no swelling, there's no discoloration.
Okay.
I truly am terrified. And of course I immediately googled testicular cancer.
Yeah.
I just turned 32. The median age for testicular cancer is 33.
33. Yeah. Wow.
But it's just like, well, of course. Thank you, Google. And I don't have fucking health insurance, like I'm just so fucked if this is like a serious thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope. Thoughts and prayers.
Thanks, Jordy.
That's not testicular cancer.
Yeah.
Surely it's not, though.
I was talking to my dad.
I mean, it could be, but.
And I don't think he'll mind me saying this, but he was like, you know, I was having a thing like that about a year ago, and I made a doctor's appointment, and by the time I got to the doctor, it was gone.
It was gone, yeah.
Like, it's. And I've had that before, but, like, I'm talking for maybe an hour or two.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It hasn't gone on for, like, days.
Yeah.
And today is the first day where it felt like it was getting slightly worse.
Really? Yeah. Oh, so that's concerning.
I don't know. I'm worried.
Do you ice?
I might try to ice tonight, see what happens.
Rest, ice, compress, elevate.
Oh, that's true. But does that all apply to your balls as well? I thought that was for like a sprained ankle, not your fucking testicle.
What if that's my health care?
Yeah, I also googled this morning, how much does it cost to have a testicle removed? And it's like, well into the $10,000 to $20,000.
Is it really?
Yeah, and I just remember being like, I mean, how hard is it? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I could do it.
What about getting it removed? Maybe what about just like a getting your tubes tied, getting it snipped?
Oh, vasectomy?
Yeah, that can't be that much.
Yeah, but I feel like it's much more involved.
A vasectomy is.
Yeah, because I think a vasectomy is like an outpatient procedure. Like, it doesn't involve a hospital stay.
Yeah.
No,
but that's what I mean. Is you mean to tell me that for less money and a less invasive surgery, you can just snip the tubes rather than just remove the whole thing? That doesn't make sense to me.
It must be less involved. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I wish that you could.
This is the problem with our healthcare system.
That I don't know that...
Anyway, sorry for bringing down the mood, but it's all I can think about these past couple days.
Hey, I get it, man. It's like it's a persistent, look at me, I'm a doctor, persistent pain. Well, I hope you get it cleared up.
I would say it's mostly persistent, but there are like right now, since we've started talking about it, it started aching a little.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Maybe that's just because I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
That's the other thing, too. It's like, it's right on the border. It's not right on the border, because I do know I'm definitely feeling pain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I wonder if because it's where it is, I can't stop thinking about it, and it seems so much more severe than it is.
Than it really is, yeah.
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 I don't know.
Schrodinger's balls.
Yeah.
Is that, that's not right at all.
It's Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger's pain.
Yeah.
Schrodinger's. Is it dinger or dinger?
Schrodinger. I think it's Schrodinger.
Schrodinger.
Schrodinger's cat.
Not to be, yeah. Okay.
If you know what Schrodinger's cat is, get after us. All right. My balls are off the board. I want to get to this listener email.
Yeah. Is it from Hillary?
It is from Hillary.
Hillary, so cool.
Who? Why don't you fill the dead air while I look up the email by telling us who Hillary is?
Hillary, I won't say your last name because I think she would appreciate privacy. But Hillary, good friend, old friend from camp. I worked at a summer camp for a number of summers, from like 2012 to 2015 or 16. Uh-huh. 3 summers. And Hillary was a good and faithful servant with me for the Lord at this Christian summer camp that we worked at.
You worked at a Christian summer camp?
It was a Methodist summer camp, but they were like,
sucks,
they
man.
Were like, they were like chill, so chill
how
about it.
Have we talked about, how religious did you grow up?
Very religious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up so religious that like one time I was in church and I went up to my dad, my stepdad, and I was like, hey, where do the dinosaurs fit in all of this? It was like after, you know, a Bible study. I was like, where do the dinosaurs fit in all of this? And he's like, I think that you should go talk to blah, blah, blah. And then I went to go talk to somebody else, like a elder in the church. And then they were like, I think that you should go talk to Pastor Scott, who was the lead pastor of the church. And then I went up and I was like, Pastor Scott. And I'm young. I'm like 11 or 12. And I'm like, where do the dinosaurs fit in all of this timeline? And he was just like, oh, the dinosaurs? You mean the dinosaurs that... But, and then he just gave me some bullshit. And then that, it was then that I was like, this is ridiculous. He was one of those 6,000-year-old...
Earth.
Thing. Earth is 6,000 years old.
It's also like, it's such a funny, like, because if his tone matched what you just did, like, you're clearly just a boy who has, like, an earnest question. He's like, oh, you mean the lies that are...
That's
like,
exactly okay, how he...
You don't have to take that tone with me. I'm a small boy.
I'm 11. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's exactly how he's like, oh, you mean the dinosaurs? Like, you mean the dinosaurs that are supposedly, like, 3 million years old, but the Earth... You know, blah 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 is no more than 6,000 years old, and I was just like, so he did not answer my question, and he was a dick about it, and then that really started the mental rift for me in church. But I grew up very religious.
Never tell you about the Creationism Museum.
I
lived in Cincinnati, Ohio.
There's
and in I think it's in Florence, Kentucky. There is a Creationism Museum. Which
I feel
is,
like I've seen
it's put on
TV.
It's like it was built and it's maintained by evangelical Christians.
Yeah,
and it is a museum completely dedicated to that belief system, which is that dinosaurs are real and here and they do correspond with the religious like Judeo-Christian timeline of 6,000-year-old Earth.
Oh my God!
And here's why their bones are dating back that far.
Yeah.
And here's how. Here's a Christian science way of explaining tectonic plate shifts and things like that.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah.
And why you might think evolution is real, but it's not. It's a whole museum of that, and it's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And the whole vibe of the museum, I'll say this is like, a lot of people think that Christians hate science, and let me just tell you something: we love science. Oh my God, science. Can't get enough of it. Step this way. And then it's just like a lot of animatronic dinosaurs. And it's well done.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Truly, I think somebody said that it's like a lot of the same like machinists and stuff that are like work at like Disney parks and stuff like that. So it's like animatronic dinosaurs like and next to just like just an old school Israelite, just a Jewy looking Israelite. It's just like, oi, a T-Rex. Like it's so crazy.
What are you gonna do?
yeah.
Oh wow. I mean, it seems like I get it. It seems the level and the skill of mental gymnastics that you have to aspire to, that you have to work towards in order to make these competing ideologies work. It's astounding to me. It's true. Like I don't, and I'm never one to like, I don't harp on politics or religion or anything. It's like, I don't believe I don't know what I believe. So it's like, that's fine. Do your thing. But like that's truly astonishing to me. That level of like, you know, all these things, nobody agrees that they existed at the same time. They do. And I'll tell you why and how I'm more qualified than everybody else to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that bugs me about it is why can't you just accept that you just don't know and you don't have an explanation? Like,
right, yeah.
If you want to believe, like, go for it. But don't try to, like, do these elaborate backflips.
I know, yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody care. Like, just accept that, like, there are conflicting pieces of evidence.
Yeah.
And whatever. I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah. It also reminds me, I mean, I think that we've talked about it before, but the Serpentarium in Wilmington. And Nate Bargatze's a great joke by Nate Bargatze.
Joke last night.
It's so good. There's a Serpentarium. It's closed down right now. in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Nate Bargatze.
Cemeterium, just like a snake. Essentially and reptiles and lizards. Snake and reptile zoo. Yeah.
And we're not talking about like, garter snakes, black snakes, king snakes.
We're talking about, think of all, like, if you have a list of the top 10 venomous snakes in the world, they're all there.
In this, and not only that, but there is like a 7-foot crocodile. Yeah.
There's a boa constrictor, like a 20-foot long boa constrictor.
Yeah, and it has.
Yeah. My favorite memory.
Vipers.
One of my favorite memories from the Serpentarium that I think this was you and me together. There is one terrarium exhibit that just has a fucking, I want to say, diamondback rattlesnake.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but we had so much fun. The diamondback rattlesnake was maybe the only snake that responded to seeing people outside of its terrarium. And if you stood in front of the glass on the side of the terrarium where it was, it would start to rattle its tail and hiss. Do you not remember this?
I don't think I remember.
You and I laughed so hard. Yeah. Because he was there. He was there, and we were like right at the edge of the glass where if you took a step to the right, then you were just in front of a wall. And he couldn't see you. So you and I.
Was this like downstairs or upstairs?
This was upstairs,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Far in the back.
Yeah.
And you and I, for fucking like 5 minutes, did
just
a thing.
Step
back and forth. We did like dance moves in front of it, like from behind the wall to just hear its rattle. And every time we like, you don't remember that?
I remember it now.
Yeah.
When you started telling the story and I'm like, and I guess dancing or stepping back and forth, I didn't remember, but I'm like, I know us and I know what we would do.
I remember that.
So
that was the famed weekend where we became, and that was like when we were like, oh, we are fucking
buds. Yeah. Because it was so funny because it was almost like putting your hands in front of like a motion sensor faucet.
Yes.
It's like every time you stepped into its eyeline, it was like,
and it was. We were having so much fun that I remember thinking, like, I mean, this snake's gonna get out and kill us, like, because we're like mocking it a little bit, you know, like
it's like, yeah, oh man,
yeah, like if there were people that were gonna die in the Serpentarium at that moment, it would have been us,
yeah, God, what a good play, yeah, it shut down because his wife killed him.
Why did his wife? Do you know the story more of?
I don't
feel
know.
Like we've talked about it.
We've talked about it. I don't know. Can't remember if we talked about it on the pod or it's come up a bunch, just like on Facebook because it's such an infamous location and you know Wilmington has a great comedy club. They've got a great comedy scene. They have
a
really
a
good
fun
festival.
Town.
Yeah, that a lot of comics have gone through there. So it's like the Serpentarium is kind of infamous now. I've definitely talked about it with like Blair Postman and a bunch of other comics. But I don't know why she killed him. I don't know what happened. But Nate Bargatze has that great joke where when you walk into the Serpentarium, you walk straight in, and then it's like center right is the counter where you buy your ticket. And it was like $7, but it was like cheap,
yeah.
I think. I can't remember.
It's not that bad.
And then behind you, so you walk into this little lobby, and then there's like a doorway proscenium that takes you into the actual exhibits.
Yeah.
But in that lobby to your back while you're buying a ticket from the counter is this wall and it's just plastered with like news articles and it's all about chemtrails.
Yeah.
And so Bargatze's joke is so good because it's like, it's already, imagine the type of person that would own a Serpentarium in Wilmington, North Carolina. And then you walk in, and he's like, yeah, I've got snakes and stuff, but here's what I really want to talk to you about. And it's like all about chemtrails and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that reminded me of the Creationism Museum.
Oh my God, it's so crazy.
Get these pockets of crazy. I'd be interested to find out what the motive was. Why she killed him. Like, I don't even know if she's in prison or jail or anything. Like, there's talk about it reopening if it already hasn't. You know?
You think that was her defense? Which it was. They were like, she
I mean,
just
look
stood
where
up
we
in court
work.
And she was like, yeah, I mean, he owned a Serpentarium. What do you want from me? Also, the preview was just a wall full of shit about chemtrails.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I killed him. I did you a favor.
I mean, that's definitely some good tags. For his joke, if we were to bring it back, it was like, if this is what he's like at work, imagine what he's like from the lazy boy of his chair at home.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So
works where he's keeping it dialed in.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's his. This
he
is
doesn't want to go too overboard because he doesn't want to hurt his customer base.
This is his business casual. What's he like with Diana at home? You know.
Oh my God.
Oh
yeah.
That actually remember. I don't know if you remember, but we were standing outside of the Serpentarium, and I got the call. For the internship that I moved into when
that
I
you
moved,
got it.
That, yeah, that,
you I was so excited.
I was so excited, but so conflicted at the same time.
Yeah,
and because I maybe it was just preliminary, so it was just like a call for to interview. But that the mm-hmm. internship and that job is the one that I moved into when I moved to New York.
Yeah,
yeah. Good weekend.
Can we talk about how Spencer got you into the industry again? Just
have we talked about? Oh yeah,
how absolutely. Just, we have
how
talked
just
about
lied
it.
My lied and cheated my way it into it.
So funny.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Lucy, go lay down. Go lay down.
Loose my goose.
Lucy, go lay down.
She's not going to. But she's so cute.
She's very cute. I love her so much.
What else do we have on the board? Should
we
even
can
talk?
Cover our whole Saturday, but we're
the
a little
email.
Bit
do
removed.
You want to do the email?
That's what I was doing.
That's what you started.
That's
doing.
What I was doing. You know why? We brought up that you worked at Methodist Christian Camp, and I was, God, that sucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then we went off on you asking your pastor.
Oh, my God. We got lost in a
what a
so,
tangent.
Anyway, about Hillary, we worked at the camp together. Super awesome person. She emailed us.
Do you want me to read your email?
I do.
Okay. It says, hi, Jordan and Sam. I wanted to write in with some information regarding a question that was posed in episode 18. Spencer, you guys were discussing methods of eliminating the less than desirable smell that can occur after dropping a, quote, saucy bomb. I want to say that, Spencer. because I love anything related to science, I decided to look into it so you didn't have to. That's very nice.
Thank you.
As it turns out, Sam was on the nose, pun intended, when he suggested that the smell of a match is overpowering. Olfactory receptors in your nose are highly sensitive to sulfur.
What olfactories, though?
What?
What olfactories, though?
You trying to be funny in the middle of this?
I'm sorry.
Olfactory receptors in your nose are highly sensitive to sulfur-containing compounds like sulfur dioxide, SO2, and, as you may know, the head of a match contains a high concentration of sulfur. When the match is lit, the sulfur from the match combines with oxygen in the air, making sulfur dioxide, which will then travel up your nose and bind to the receptors. Sulfur dioxide is very potent and essentially overwhelms the receptors, making everything else in the air not smell as bad. So that's what we got. But my...
Did you ever just hear somebody talk and you're just like, you are so much smarter than I could ever hope to be?
You don't understand that, though?
I do, but I'm just like...
Oh, the fact that she, like, went and found out and can explain it so succinctly?
I bet. I know Hillary, personally, and I'm like, I don't want to put it past her, but, like, I bet she did that from memory.
Oh, probably.
You know?
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
I would say, though, because she's giving me too much credit, I had a question, and my question was... Because I was under the impression, and I think Spencer and I were debating it, this was while you went pee, that this conversation
started. Oh, okay.
But we were talking about how, is it the match burning up the fart smell? Like you know how you fart methane
yeah,
gas?
Yeah, yeah.
Can line up? Is the match burning that up, and that's why it doesn't smell? Or is it the smell of smoke? And what she is saying...
It's the smell of the
is
smoke.
Is that it is the smell of the smoke,
yeah,
specifically
yeah.
because the smell of any sulfur compound
yeah, yeah.
overwhelms most olfactory sensors in your nose.
So
it doesn't
okay.
seem like it smells like poop,
yeah.
but you just have no ability to smell the poop.
To smell the poop, because the sulfur dioxide is just
so
overpowering.
Powerful, yeah.
That actually makes me feel like such an idiot, because when after I go number two... And it is match-worthy. When I light the match, I'll let it burn for a little bit. Because I'm just like, I'm going to burn these
fumes
up.
Same. That is exactly what I do.
And then, but every time, Melissa's like, she's seen me do it before. She's like, you got to put it out. It's the smoke that does it. Yeah. And I was just like,
but I would argue that if you let it burn for longer and burn more of the match stick itself, then when you blow it out, there is more smoke left
yeah.
over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So either way. But, you better believe I wave that thing all over. And I'm like, yes, I'm burning up the poop
I'm burning
particles.
Up these poop fumes. Yeah. These pumes.
These pew.
Thank you so much, Hillary, resident science correspondent.
Yeah. She had a couple other paragraphs that are very sweet.
She's a compliment in the pod?
Yeah. This is very nice.
Thank you, Hillary.
Hillary, thank you so much.
Guys, get at us.
Get at us. Get after us.
We're not done. We just like reading your emails.
We love reading your emails. We are sitting at 54 minutes. Do you want to do the big Saturday night?
Just a quick rundown of...
of my, really, I guess my birthday celebration Saturday.
Yeah. And you said that your birthday, your day became my day.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, not angrily. I don't.
To be fair, though, Dwayne's hit midnight. Anything after midnight is no longer your birthday. Therefore, I qualifies me to take over that day. we went to the Yankees game.
We went to the Yankees game. You and
Casey's idea.
Former guest, friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Bought yourselves and me a ticket.
Yes.
And then we had been out drinking the night before. You and I both...
would not qualify that as drinking. I would call that hanging out with friends at a bar.
Yeah, I got like a good buzz. I felt hungover for like maybe 5 minutes when I woke up.
You know
where you get those where you're just like barely and you're like,
yes,
I'll be fine.
Yeah. Now,
That's how I felt.
In the last pod, I was so self-conscious because I was like, I even wrote it down on the board was Sam thinks Jordan has a drinking problem. And I feel like I'm projecting. I will say what I was going to say right now is like, I did not wake up with a hangover, but that makes me think that maybe I drink too much. If two out of the three people that were drinking with me that night woke up with a hangover of any degree.
But I'm saying I wouldn't have even qualified as how I woke up as hungover.
I didn't feel hungover. Maybe a little bit tired because it was late. We didn't get home late.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I crashed because we took a lift to your place.
Right. Yeah, you just stayed
at
my
place.
And then
when I went to get on the train to Astoria, I found out it was closed, so I just crashed at your place.
Oh, I love a good sleepover.
Ugh. Adult sleepover, we should do it more often.
I know. Honestly. Girls can do it all day. And
yeah. We talked about it that night.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Anytime Alyssa leaves town, I have a buddy sleepover.
That's so great. Anyway.
That and I watch all of the Bourne movies.
Yeah. We woke up the next morning.
Yes.
Game started at 1:05, and you and I, when we had ourselves a nice little morning together.
We had a great morning. We
got bagels. Bagels and...
We went shopping.
We went shopping. I got some shorts, which I'm currently wearing. And I'm not a shorts guy.
You're not a shorts guy. Those are your legs, huh? That's what they look like.
Yeah. That was even funnier when you said it outside.
Oh. but we made plans. We made a very specific plan. All three of us were in on it, right?
Yeah.
I texted the group.
Casey
we're
going to
meet at my place at noon.
Casey McGowan, who I think of the three of us drank the least.
Yes.
The night before.
He had maybe two beers and a single shot.
And he claims you at one point bought everybody a round of whiskey, which is very nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember this. He was like, I took that shot of whiskey and I got so quiet and knew that I had to go home because I was so dry. And he did claim that after that.
We all know that point. It's just like, I need to be quiet or else something's coming out.
Oh, also, side note, the night before when we were drinking, we were in this bar, like Clinton Hill area, and the bathroom had chalkboard walls. And so I told Jordan, I sent him a text with a picture of what I drew, but I told him, we have to get Casey to go in this bathroom because I drew on the chalkboard right above the toilet, just said, hey, Casey, nice penis, love God. And he did see it eventually. Really underwhelming reaction.
I know.
He just walked out. He was like, did you write that?
Like, he just came out, not even a bare, like a faint smile on his face.
Now that I think about it, he must have been so drunk, you know?
Oh, yeah. But I don't want to get too much into like, we're fucking partying, bros. But we went out the night before with Casey. So we're going to the game. And we're on the platform. We were like an hour late already.
Casey got there late, which is fine. It's a baseball game.
Yeah, it goes on for hours.
Yeah. But Casey showed up feeling like he did look like super pale.
And he showed up in the worst outfit.
Clammy.
Solid black.
He showed
tight.
Up in the same. He was wearing those clothes the night before.
I think he had the book bag, the t-shirt.
And it was
a solid
like,
dark outfit.
If he could have been not hungover and he still would have been so uncomfortable.
Oh,
that
man.
Game.
Skinny black jeans.
Yeah. With like a t-shirt and a flannel shirt and a black hat on. Like just.
I'm surprised from a sports guy that he showed up in that outfit.
Yeah. And then get on the train to go. It is hot, especially in the New York City the subway platform.
It gets pretty
bad. Summertime is even hotter. Kind of feels like a humid oven, you know? And we're waiting for the train for like 7 minutes. And Casey just breaks it where he's like, I kind of feel pretty bad. I might have, like, I honestly don't know if I can go.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, man. I mean,
do what you got to do.
How do you feel? And then, like, and he keeps bringing it up so much that essentially it just becomes you and I talking Casey into not going.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I don't know. I'd feel so bad. I was like, man, I don't want you to go if you think you're going to be sick and be miserable the whole time. Like, I understand. It's okay.
Yeah. We were like totally, yeah. I feel like we were very understanding. Yeah. But
and then at some point it is decided. He's like, okay, I'm going to go. And then he just stays for another 5 minutes.
Well, he was like waiting for us to get on the train.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys are going to be mad, are you? And we're like, no. But that's the thing that I do.
Yeah. Which we did. This is when the first, I can't believe it's taken us this long to diagnose this about you. You're a very big, like, in the moment, like, I'm not mad at all.
I'm not mad.
And then we were on the train, and you said it, like, you're smiling. You're not furious, but you just go, can I be honest? I am kind of mad.
I do, yeah.
Yeah. And that's you've done that with me before.
I'm such a people pleaser.
If I'm being honest, I am kind of mad.
Was I mad at you?
Yeah, we could listen back. We have had this moment between you and I.
Oh,
before.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just such a... a people pleaser that I'm just
you never
like,
want to express it in the moment.
Yeah. But I'll come back to it. I'd be like,
see, that's why I have hate filled rage fantasies in my head though, because I won't ever say it to the person, and then when they're not there, I just act out yelling at them in my head.
Based on like conversations with you and like hearing you talk about your therapy and stuff like that, and then those exact things, I have tried to do my best of like I'll have a moment where I'm like I'm not mad. And then I'll just, like, reassess myself. And then I will say out loud to somebody, you know what? I am mad. Or I do not feel well. And just, even if I don't say it to the person who's about, just acknowledging the feelings out loud feels pretty good.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And I did tell Casey. I was like, you know what? I think he asked me the next day or, like, that later that Monday or something. He's like, you weren't mad. Oh, no, it was that night at Dwayne's party, which is probably not the best place for me to bring that up. But he was like, were you mad? And I was like, you know what, Casey? I was mad. And then I was like, but I was mad because you didn't come and I really wanted you to come. It was going to be a really good time amongst friends.
Yeah.
And I was just upset. And that's it. But I'm not mad, you know?
Yeah.
So
we did. You and I went. We just watched the Yankees get the piss beat out.
Yeah,
of them,
right.
You know? But it was great. I got a couple foot long Heber Nationals. You got, I think, a spicy sausage.
Yeah, spicy sausage.
My boy treated me to Coors Light.
Yeah.
And then we went. You did Power Hour. You did great. I had such a good time.
Yeah.
Comedy's Leland Long thought it wasn't great, but
yeah.
What the fuck does Leland know?
He's gone back on his opinion now. I've asked him before. He thought it was bad. He thought. Never mind. It was so much fun, and that's a mic that I've been wanting to sit in on since I first ever came to it. I'm glad. If I'd known that it was if they play it loose and fast like that, I would have asked a long time ago. But
yeah.
And
then after so
oh also
beer at the ball game.
The thing with Power Hour is that it's like
you have to drink.
Yeah, there's a drinker on stage who drinks for the entire mic, and normally it's beer pitchers of beer, and you have to drink like a pitcher an hour. I was doing keto. I'm doing keto. And so instead of beer, I was just doing vodka sodas.
Yeah.
And I think I had like 6 or 7 of them. Uh-huh. I don't want to dwell on Dwayne's part, like me drinking too much, because I don't want people to get a bad opinion about me. All I will say is that I lost a day and a half after that night.
I will say you did do that. And then at Dwayne's party, you had a couple more drinks. And at one point, I left around 1:30, and we were having a great... It was a very fun party.
Yes, yeah. Dwayne,
it was a great time at this place called Old Stanley's in Brooklyn. And at one point, Casey and I see you going to the bar to get another drink. And you're not a sloppy mess, but you're definitely like... Everybody's like, George's pretty drunk.
Yes, yeah.
And
a bunch of people were saying it?
Casey and I and like our good friends were all like, he's drunk. And then I come up to you, and I'm like, hey, man, I don't mean to be a dick. You seem really drunk right now.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not drink and just hang out? And I'll get you. And I got you a Diet Coke. And you were like, yeah, all right. And when I left, you were having a great time sitting at the table. And apparently
with
Casey was like, he kept drinking.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Can I also tell you that looking back on it, I'm so embarrassed. But I will tell you that in that moment, I felt challenged, and I hate that.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, it's like this weird machismo challenge. You're just like, sure, hey, you're kind of drunk. So in my mind, you're like, he's trying to establish himself as a superior.
Yeah. Well, when you're drunk, it's easy to think that.
When that lizard brain kicks in, you know, and I hate. Yeah. That's how I know that, you know, that's a level that I don't like.
Can I be honest? I think right when we got there, I got you and I whiskeys or something.
Yeah.
And I took maybe a sip and I gave mine to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
So then when I saw you, I was like, yeah,
you've
got
to be good. Yeah. Which I appreciate, actually. Thank you so much. It's a Diet Coke would be good. You're so kind to them. I mean, like, let me get you something that you can also have because I know you're on a diet. So sweet all around, you know? Let me help sober you up.
What was I going to say? But yeah, it was a great time.
It was good. I did. I went home, and that was Saturday night. Sunday, so when Melissa's out of town, I am a total pig. I hate how much of a stereotype I am, but I'm such a pig. And then I'll clean up really well before she gets home. And I'd put it off for so long. I meant to do it Saturday. And then I got home Saturday night, and I tried to drunk clean, and just, I think I made it worse. It was so bad. I woke up, lights are on, TV's on, everything's on. I woke up just feet on the floor, laid back on my bed, fully clothed on an unmade bed. Like, I'd wash the sheets.
Ooh.
I woke up at 7, she got home at 8, and I was just like, fuck. And I tried to clean up as much as possible after drunk cleaning and all this stuff. And she got home. I felt so bad because So she got home and was just like, oh, God, Jordan. And I just felt, I woke up Sunday, still drunk. I went back to sleep till about 2:30, woke up still drunk, and then was hungover at work Monday.
That's so funny.
It was bad. Just
how much do you think you had to drink on Saturday?
I don't know.
Beer, you had a bunch of vodka sodas at Power Hour.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like how much I had.
Yeah.
I think I do want to reel it in. But that's the hard thing for me. And that's part of the reason why I like keto as a diet so much. Mm-hmm. Is because I have a really hard time setting medium limits. Does that make sense? You know, like, I can't. It's just like, I'm going to limit myself to like one sweet a day. And it for me, it's like either an all or nothing thing.
Mm.
And so if I'm like, okay, I'm going to limit my drinking, I'm like, what is limit? I don't set hard enough boundaries. So.
Oh, this is what I'm sorry. Cut off a sincere moment for you.
You fucking.
What I did want to talk about, and I guess we could probably post it with the post. Oh, is she getting your backpack?
Yeah.
Did she get anything?
I don't think so.
Just those hallucinogenic mushrooms. Just kidding. I do want to... I'll probably post it when we post about the episode, but we had a really great moment as three buds. You, me, and Casey. There was a photo booth set up at that bar.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I would surprise... I had done it already with Joe Strix and Frank Ruggiero. Not Frank. What's Frank's last name?
Di Ruggiero.
I just used your girlfriend's last name.
Yeah, my girlfriend's last name is
Ruggiero. But they're similar.
Yeah. They're spelled the exact same way except for D. But he says his differently. Di Ruggiero. And Melissa's is Ruggiero.
Ruggiero.
Anyway,
we were like, let's all get in the photo booth, and you and Casey were outside of it, and I had pulled the curtain, so I just thought it'd be funny to take my shirt off.
Yeah.
And then you and Casey were like, hell yeah. So we all just had a shirtless photo sesh. And then actually the best picture was from Alon.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Snapped he snapped it, and it's just him. It really is a moment of like pure joy with three friends.
Yeah.
It's just the three of us.
We should post it on the gram.
All drunk. Oh, yeah, absolutely. All drunk. In the photo booth together, just laughing. And, man, it was great.
Dude, the strips, I've got that strip. Were there just two?
Yeah, I think you and Casey each did.
Because it's on my fridge.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's just so much joy. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to talk favorite candy bar, but we could probably save it for another day.
I think we should talk favorite candy bar.
You want to talk candy bar?
Yeah, candy nice bar? Little sweet treat to go out on.
All right. Favorite candy bar.
On three.
We have talked about this because
on
I think that we're in agreement about our favorite candy bar. Maybe not on the pod. Ready? On three.
One, two, three.
Butterfinger. Take five. Oh.
I love Take
you
Five.
You do love a Take Five.
Though. I love a Take Five. Yeah. I really underrated candy bar to me.
Butterfinger is your favorite candy bar.
Butterfinger. If I like go to split second decision, I'm in line. I'm next up at Duane Reade. Butterfinger. King size.
I don't know if I have ever really had a Butterfinger. I mean, I've had a bite of it. I know what it tastes like.
Yeah, yeah.
Never my go-to.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just such a good crunch. The chocolate is like minimal chocolate, so it's not overwhelming. It's.
And what is the filling? It's like a peanut butter crunch, right?
It's like a, not nougat-y. It's like peanut butter, but it's kind of like a hard, flaky, yeah, like mica, the rock.
Kit Kat?
Love a Kit Kat.
Kit Kat is up there for
Take
me.
Take Five's good. Take Five.
Take Five is, yeah. Some people, Take Five I found is very divisive.
Really?
Like, Shalewa Sharp has it's a very funny joke. Where,
about Take Fives?
Yeah, where she's just like, who here likes Take Five? And everybody claps and she's like, y'all got fooled. And the crux of the joke is just like, it seems like you just enjoy a candy bar that is just the factory floor sweepings. Because the Take Five is just a little bit of everything.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
No, it's just chocolate, caramel, and pretzel. There's not a more classic pairing.
No, and peanut butters and peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm a fan. There's two variations of the Take Five. There's the basic one that you're talking about, or like the mainstream one. Then there's another one that's just chocolate, caramel, and peanut butter, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Chocolate, caramel, peanut butter, and pretzels.
Then it should be called a Take Three.
Take Five, five ingredients. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not realize that it was named after the amount of ingredients.
I think so.
That's crazy. Lucy. You know what else I like? Almond Joy Mounds. I prefer Mounds. I don't like the almond.
We have talked about that. I don't get coconut in anything.
It is so far from coconut. It is like milky, gooey, sugary coconut. I get that it's got like the coconut. It's got the coconut taste. Go on, girl. It's got the taste and the consistency of coconut, but it's so much sweeter.
Doesn't make it better.
It's still pretty good.
I'm not opposed to coconut in things, but like actual coconut, the texture I don't find pleasing.
Like shaved coconut and stuff?
Yeah.
Everybody says, everybody says the same thing about coconut, but...
But you love it.
I love it. Oh, I love the texture. Okay, whatever. I bet you think cilantro tastes like soap, too.
No, I fucking love cilantro. Good, also, That is a genetic thing that people have. Like,
yeah, well, I think it's fake, and I think if you...
You think it's fake?
I think it's fake, and I think you're lying to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not lying to you. I like cilantro.
So dismissive of... It's cilantrophiliacs.
No, it'd be cilantrophobics.
Cilantrophobics. That's it.
You and I are cilantrophiliacs.
Yes, yeah.
Sitting at about an hour 12, dog.
Should we do it?
Yeah, we should do it.
Sign off.
Let's, guys, we're going to post on the thing about...
the tour?
All of the tour. Yeah, we'll include a picture with the tour dates and everything. And honestly, please, I'm just going to say it again. If you want a up your button around the corner kitchen magnet, go ahead, rate and review. First 15 people that do it, it's yours. Just give me the address. And I'll send it to you, and I'll send nothing else, and I won't share your information with anybody else. But please rate, review, and subscribe. Add Up Your Butt Pod, upyourbuttpod@gmail.com. I'm at Really Sam Evans.
Really?
This is at...
Sam Evans?
Juden's got hug, or Juden Huggins.
Juden Huggins. Now, when they rate, subscribe, and review, they're also going to have to tweet at us, right? Did you already say that?
Yeah, well, I just said take a picture or a screenshot of your review.
Yeah.
And then send it on Twitter
or Instagram
or
email
or
whatever.
Or the email.
Yeah.
And with your address, and I'll send you a kitchen mat.
I love it.
Yeah.
Great idea.
All right. Well, I love you, buddy.
Love you, man. Later, idiots.
Bye, butthead.